Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we are following a story that, in Newsweek, presents itself this way. China has rebuked the United States for destabilizing global finance and leveraging the dollar's dominance as a geopolitical weapon, following President-elect Donald Trump's threat to impose tariffs on BRICS nations pursuing de-dollarization efforts. BRICS, all capital letters, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Gordon, this talk has been around for some time in the BRICS, every time they meet, now and again. The talk is emphasized by Russia and especially by China. What do you make of it, Gordon?
I make of it that basically Beijing and Moscow would like to dethrone the dollar as the world's reserve currency. They've got a few problems, though. The renminbi, China's currency, is not convertible on the capital account and sometimes is barely convertible on the current account. The ruble is sinking and they've stopped trading. The problem with the BRICS, John, is that it has an eye, India. And India is out there to frustrate most of what China and Russia want to do. And a common currency is very difficult, especially if you don't have common financial management. This is a lot of talk, and I would put it into the category of hot air. I worry about China. I don't worry about China's initiatives with the BRICS.
We welcome Andrew Collier, our colleague. He's managing director of Orient Capital Research. His new book is China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants. Andrew, a very good day to you. The talk has been constant for some time now, every time they meet. What is the talk about? Why is it they even want to speculate on a de-dollarization of the BRICS? Good evening to you, Andrew.
Well, China has been looking at the Russia situation for some time because Russia obviously had very harsh sanctions against it that is hurting the Russian economy. And China very recently set up an interagency working group that meets monthly to talk about how they would deal with sanctions in the case of either a war situation or a Trump administration, which is looking at very large sanctions. So they're very concerned about their $3.3 trillion in the U.S. As reserve currency for them, reserves, foreign exchange reserves. And they're very concerned with all their trade that's denominated in the U.S. dollar. So they would love to have an alternative world. But as Gordon just indicated, it's very hard to get away from the U.S. dollar.
And the U.S. dollar is the world's currency, and everybody agrees upon it, especially the oil producing countries. So how is it that China was going to deal with the Middle East, where it buys all its oil? Was it going to force them to accept their BRICSian currency, whatever it's going to be called?
Well, China's been actually doing more bilateral trade with Russia and with some Middle Eastern countries using the renminbi and also doing swaps of currency or exchange of goods. But it's fairly small beer compared to the overall U.S. dollar. As far as the renminbi as a global currency, that effort has gone nowhere.
Gordon, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, as you look at the euro, where it is been successful in a sense, but there's no common financial management. But you do have countries which have a similar outlook, all in the eurozone. What do you think about BRICS, which is not only those five countries that John mentioned, but it's now about, what, four more that have been added last year or this year? Where is this going?
Well, you indicated before we started that India is a bit of a problem because India and China are at loggerheads. So I totally agree with you. You have a bunch of cats in a room trying to come up with a plan together. It doesn't mean they're going to agree because they're probably just going to fight with each other. So having a common outlook is very important for them. That being said, certainly there the threats that Trump has put to weaponize the U.S. dollar is threatening both the global trading climate among all countries. And it is also potentially with higher inflation in the United States and our 6.7% of GDP with our government debt, the U.S. dollar, it could be weakening its own position. So his whole plan could backfire. And plus, it's angering China. And I don't think that's a really good thing to be doing right now as tensions escalate.
I want to stay with tariffs, Andy, because the tariff threat of 100% seemed excessive. But then again, tariffs themselves are much in the news. Is there a positive case for tariffs, or is this all considered punitive, like firing an artillery shell?
Well, I mean, look, everybody knows that China's been subsidizing its exports for years, and it's exporting its excess manufacturing capacity. So certainly no one really wants them to continue doing this. But it is essentially a bargaining position by Trump. And my view of both China and the United States is that domestic politics is going to make their policies difficult to put in place. I mean, Trump's dealing with the Congress with lots of different agricultural interests. The states are now coming up with their own plans. And even Biden's Inflation Act has a lot of investment in red states. So I think Trump's going to find it pretty difficult when he starts to really try to make these threats real in the market.
Gordon, you have a question.
Andy, let's go to the euro for a second, because it is an example of a common currency across a number of different countries. How do you assess the euro at this point?
Well, I mean, Germany is tended to be the strong man in the euro for quite some time because they had the most capital and they could dictate a lot of the interest rate policy. Certainly after the financial crisis, there were bailouts of Greece and Italy, which showed that the eurozone could actually come together. But Germany was the one really pulling the strings behind that. It's getting tougher now because the entire eurozone growth is slowing. It's barely reaching 1%. So it's going to be tougher for them to try to maintain unity. But certainly, as you said, they're all on the same page, and they don't like China exports, for example, into their zone.
Andy, how do you regard the Chinese shenanigans? Is it a threat to global trade? Is it a hostile move by China? Is it just the way they want to do business, you know, rules-based business, except we cheat? How do you regard it? And can we discount it as treat it as a talking point and not beggaring our economy?
No, I would not treat it as a talking point. China's economy is in a tailspin. Their property market is collapsing. Their state firms are not producing very well. And their new tech is good, but is pretty small overall. And meanwhile, their exports has been their bright light. They've got the clothing company Shein that's shipping clothes to here and to Europe. You've got certainly EVs going to Europe. So when suddenly the U.S. dollar, it looks like it's going to be a problem and Trump is coming into the administration, they're quite scared about that. And so they're looking for an alternative path. I don't really blame them. I think that they're doing the right thing. I just don't think it's going to work.
Gordon, we have less than a minute if you have a quick question.
Andy, how does China sanction proof itself?
Increasing trade with BRICS countries, with their trade with Russia has skyrocketed. The only thing that they really need to do is to start to play ball with Trump, strike some sort of deal that gives Trump a win, and then try to tamp down the tension so they can keep their exports going. Maybe move some companies into the United States if their politics permit.
Andrew Collier, a principal at Orient Capital Research. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.